Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Southern California-based jazz vocalist Leah Booth. She took some time to talk with us about her life in music, COVID realities, and the future, along with her new 2022 CD, Life Can Be Beautiful. She is quickly establishing herself as one of Southern California's most talked about young jazz vocalists. She has been making a strong impression and building a solid fan base with her fun, dynamic, and heartfelt performances. She started singing in the college vocal jazz ensembles at Syncopation and Pacific Standard Time. Enjoy the story.
Thanks for taking a minute out today. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Before we get into Life Can Be Beautiful, I want to know, you know, the last 2 years has been rather tumultuous for all of us on planet Earth. And I want to know, as an artist, how you survived, you know, with no live shows, things were kind of pared down. I mean, we had a virtual element, but how did you do?
It was tough. It was really tough. And I didn't get into the virtual element as much as some of my friends and colleagues did. Social media has been something that I've not been super driven by. So it was kind of tough for me to get into that whole virtual performance space. I had a little group of friends and we would get together. We were all like confirmed safe with each other. We weren't going and hanging out with other people, but we would get together and we would make music every once in a while. But I also, I took up paddleboarding and that really helped. So I paddleboarded like crazy and I got super buff. And that was a good, was a good stabilizer for me.
Very cool. Well, you know, and the thing about right now is that we're looking on the back end of this thing. You have an album coming out. Live shows are picking up. It's warm out. How does this release feel for you collectively?
It feels great. It feels like it's been a long time coming because we recorded it in 2020.
Wow.
So it's like, it's kind of a, like you can breathe because you've been waiting for so long for something to happen and now it's happening and so you can breathe. But I also have been working pretty consistently and actually more than I was working before the pandemic. I'm working now much more. I'm very, very busy and I'm very grateful for that. But it kind of like all came back with like a fury.
Well, and I guess that's the other part that I think about too. You know, jazz is an organism that isn't as popular, obviously, as others. And, you know, most of the motivation behind jazz comes from just the soul and the desire to want to do it. And I think that's the thing that I'm starting to see is that there's more ownership or there's more collective oversight from musicians now than there was before. Like, you can control your own destiny and have some things that kind of come into your favor, which is not relatively common for the jazz community.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially with our ability to produce things independently. There's so many more options for artists that are doing things that are kind of against the grain. So we have a lot more options. And I mean, it takes more work because we're doing everything ourselves. It is easier to be able to do what you want to do and, like you said, take ownership of that.
So the original intent behind, so when in 2020 was this supposed to come out?
Well, we recorded it in 2020 in October. And it was going to be, there wasn't really a release date because we were kind of following the releases of other artists that were on the same label. So it was just waiting. We were just playing a waiting game and it kept getting pushed back. It was going to be a year out to be released. And then it ended up being a year and a half.
Since jazz tends to be kind of this genre that has some romanticism around it, I'm curious, what was the final show that you played before the world shut down in March of 2020?
My last gig was, I was on tour with an artist named Aubrey Logan. I don't know if you've heard of her. She's phenomenal, like insane. I was singing backup vocals for her, and we were on tour. We did a little West Coast tour, and that was my last gig before the shutdown happened. We were able to get through our entire tour. We got back, and everything went crazy. It was nuts.
Yeah, it's weird how everything just kind of fell away, like the Tetris board just melted. Let me ask you this. Let's kind of go back a little bit here. Actually, I've got one more question about the album.
Sure.
What are you ultimately hoping the listener gets from this experience?
Joy. I would say joy. For me, these are songs that I love and two, make me happy. So I would hope that people listening to this feel that and it can kind of contribute to their state of being.
So would the title of this album be for those out there that might be skeptics or might be charred by what happened over the last couple of years?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like there's still stuff. There are still things in life that can make everything a little bit better. Despite all of the crap that happens in the world and continues to happen, is happening right now. Like there's still little moments of beauty and of joy, and you know, go outside and take a walk and you'll find a whole bunch of them. You know what I mean? Like there's still stuff that you can find to kind of make breathing a little bit easier amidst the chaos.
Tell me how this whole music journey began for you. Where were you born and raised? Kind of your family life and how you got into this.
I was born in La Palma, California, which is Orange County. And I was raised in Riverside, which is the Inland Empire, so kind of in the desert of Southern California. And there, I mean, there's no jazz around there, really. Very, very little. So I didn't really grow up with jazz, per se, on my radar. Like, both of my parents are singers. My dad's a musical theater guy. My mom was, like, an indie singer-songwriter. And we used to do music all the time at home. And, you know, my mom and I would sing together at church, and I was raised with harmony around me, so my ear developed pretty early. I would actually like prefer, you know, we listened to the Beatles a lot and all the classic oldies on the radio. And I would prefer to sing harmony over the melody. Like every single time, my sister used to get mad at me for doing it. Sing the melody! But I didn't, and I'm glad I didn't, because it really contributed to my ability to play around with melody as a jazz vocalist. And improvise. But yeah, so I was raised by two musical people and was in choir all through high school. I actually transferred from one school to another because the choir program was better at the school I went to. And that was the best decision I ever made. It was difficult leaving all my friends because I went from one city to another city, but it was hands down the right decision to make. So then I went to... when it came time for college, I didn't really care about going to a university or anything like that. I really just wanted to sing in this specific vocal jazz ensemble that in middle school, I had a friend whose older sister sang in that group. It was at Mount San Antonio College, Mount SAC, it's right up the street from Cal Poly Pomona, which is it's Los Angeles area. I just knew I wanted to be in that group. Graduated from high school, went and I auditioned, and for the specific group that I wanted to be in, that's like the top group, you have to scat in your audition. And I had never scatted before. I didn't know how to do it, but I had heard it enough because I used to go to their concerts. So I could kind of like futz my way through it. It was a 12-bar blues and I did it and I made it into the group. And that was kind of the end and the beginning for me. Like that was what I wanted to do. And the story continues on. I don't know how much of the story you want me to tell right now.
No, that's good. Yeah. No, and I can kind of cherry pick from there. What was the first live jazz show that you ever saw that blew you away?
That ever blew me away for sure was Snarky Puppy at the Monterey Jazz Festival in 2013, I believe it was 2013. And that was, I went there with my vocal jazz ensemble, which is called Syncopation, by the way, under the direction of Bruce Rogers, who's a fantastic director. Yeah, we would do these competitions every year, the Monterey Next Generation Jazz Competition, and we would, you know, sing against all of the other vocal jazz ensembles in the state. And if you win, you get to perform at the Monterey Jazz Festival, which is a big deal. So the group... I'm mixing my ears up because we went so many times. We won and were able to go and perform. And at that show or at that festival, Snarky Puppy was performing and it was like the most impactful jazz concert I had ever seen. And that was like my first experience with seeing jazz live in general, but it was such a powerful concert. So Snarky Puppy for sure.
You know, there's this phenomenon where if you see somebody live, you know, it's such a different experience than if you see them recorded. For instance, the last show that I saw before the lockdown happened was Bill Frisell. And, you know, seeing him do what he does is a completely different experience than hearing it. Now, I have more context, but I think about Snarky Puppy, and when I hear them, it's not something that I go back to.
Right.
But it seems to me as though their live gig is going to be a completely different experience than a recording.
Yes. Yes. I would say I'm kind of with you where I can only listen to so much of it recorded, but the show, man, it was like, it was so overwhelmingly powerful for me. It felt like it was like a wall of sound, like a thick wall of sound. And I am a very, you know, emotionally sensitive person, and I am overcome easily. And that like really affected me big time. It was incredible.
In that same vein of thinking about live shows and performing and all of that, as a professional musician, what do you like the most about this process? What is it that motivates you every day?
Yeah, expression, for sure. 100% expression. And connection, of course, because it's, you know, you're having a conversation with the musicians. If you're fortunate enough to play to an audience who is like attentive, you're having a conversation with the audience as well. And not like a spoken conversation, but you're feeding off of their energy and you're giving something that they're asking for, et cetera, et cetera. But for me, I think more than connection, it's expression. Because it's such an interpretive style of music, I'm able to kind of just take whatever I'm feeling and put that into the music. And that's very cathartic.
Let's say a Jazz DeLorean pulls up in front of your house and you can punch in the digits, go anywhere in time,
yeah,
and see a performance. Where are you going? Who are you going to see?
Newport Jazz Festival, Anita O'Day. She's like number one on my list of old school vocalists who inspire me. Because she was an instrument. I mean, Ella Fitzgerald was also an instrument. But Anita O'Day played with rhythm, and she made sounds that no one else was making with their voice. And, you know, she just kind of did whatever she wanted to do, and she was highly respected amongst the musician community for it, because she used her voice as an instrument. And I just really, really love the stuff that she did. And that also, that particular performance had some pretty iconic tunes that she performed.
So why do you love jazz?
Like I said before, because I can be as expressive as I need to be, as I want to be. I can be as creative as I want to be. And I am not the kind of person that easily sits down and writes a song. I wrote one song on this album, and it was like it was like a fluke. Like, that doesn't happen to me very often. But I get to create every single time I perform this music. And it just clicked right away when I started doing it. You know, this was 12 years ago when I started. It was a decent singer, but I didn't know how to improvise really, and I didn't know any tunes. But as I continued learning, it just made so much sense to me, because I am such a reactive, emotional, expressive person.
As we start returning to live music more, and, you know, we were away from it for largely 2 years, what do you hope we all collectively realize about the power of live music now that we're getting back to it?
Yeah, that it's necessary for peace and for, you know, taking a break and appreciating beauty and creativity, and that it is helpful. It's really helpful. You know, I've talked to a lot of people after my shows, and I've gotten lots of feedback like, I'm dealing with this thing and you gave me peace, or I'm dealing with this thing and you really like reminded me of this or that, you know, like you're accessing people's emotional centers. And I keep talking about emotion, but for me, that's really what it is, you know, just realizing that it is a necessary part of our well-being.
So everyone has a perception of you, your family, your friends, your fans, but ultimately you live your life. You have a perception of yourself. Who do you think you are?
What a question.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. It could be as, like, abstract with this as I want to. Like, for me, I feel like I am just open. I am open. I am transparent. I am willing to try new things. I don't like to stick myself in a box. I like to experiment. I like to be creative. I would say, yeah, the number one thing for me is that I am open.
Perfect. Leah, thank you for taking some time out today. Good luck with the album. And
thanks so much.
Stage.
Appreciate it. Absolutely. You have a great day. Take care.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest singers in Southern California, Kansas City, and spots all over the world giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Leah for her time, music, and story. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com for all things Neon Jazz, the NeonJazz.blogspot.com, and for all things Joe Domino, JoeDomino.com, and there you can kick in via Patreon or PayPal. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
In your eyes.
Neon Jazz.